Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time, one listen at a time. We've got a great listen today. So we're going to talk about one of my very, very, very favorite topics, which is the topic of intuition and radical intuition. So what is radical intuition? Just even the name of that is so wonderful and intriguing to me. But, you know, intuition has been something that we've had in as part of our life throughout the ages. And many of the most extraordinary human beings we've had on the planet, Einstein, Da Vinci, Joan of Arc, Steve Jobs, Oprah, Stephen Hawking, they've all talked about intuition and attributed a lot of their success to their intuition. And I'm super happy to have with us Kim Chesney today, who wrote this incredible book, Radical Intuition, which is really all about, it's the revolutionary guide to using your inner power. So thanks for being on the show with me today, Kim.
Thanks, Lisa. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. So tell us a little bit about how you came to be sort of this leading expert in creating the Intuition Lab. And how did you started your life as an artist? Is that right?
Yeah, you know, it's really been an intuitive journey, I guess. It's not sort of one of those things that you would have expected. You know, I've worked in technology for 20 years, but at heart, I've been an artist. I have my degree in oil painting. And I've always, you know, like a lot of people out there, have been really intuitive. And I think for me, I just had so many intuitive experiences as a young person and then subsequently throughout my life that I really just had to understand it and make sense of it in my own life. And it kind of became a quest for me to really hack intuition and understand how it was serving us and why it was actually something normal and not anything to be afraid of, that whole thing. So yeah, it's been a convoluted journey, but a wonderful journey. And I'm really excited at where it's ending up now.
And what is radical intuition?
Yeah, so, you know, and I think you've probably experienced this working, you know, in the psychic world and the intuitive world, that a lot of people don't really understand intuition as a really with a comprehensive definition, right? It's sort of like this nebulous thing that people hear, like, oh, it's a gut feeling, or it's an instinct, or it's like a sneaking suspicion, right? There's all these different terms we use to define these nebulous qualities of intuition. But with radical intuition, I really wanted to kind of look at all those different facets of intuition and create a comprehensive understanding of how it actually works in all aspects of our life. Because intuition is really, it's all connected to one thing. It's one sort of faculty that's working, but it manifests itself in different pathways, in different ways. You might show up as a feeling or a knowing or a sensation, right? So that, as you know, there's different ways that we can experience it. So with radical intuition, I really just wanted to show people that it's a normal part of life and it's a part of our cognitive function that every person that walks on this planet can use every day.
That's so cool. And you, in order to study it, you developed something called the Intuition Lab. Mm-hmm. What's that all about?
Yeah, so that's where I decided I wanted to hack intuition. I thought the lab would be a perfect kind of way to approach a school on intuition. So, you know, I've been teaching intuition and psychic development for many, many years. And then I really wanted to kind of take it to the next level of researching and exploring it and trying new things with cohorts of people and really finding new ways to access those intuitive parts of our brain. So the lab sort of evolved out of that for that purpose. And I was able to really connect people all around the world. I've been working with students from so many different countries to connect beyond time and space. Like we're not even the same place. So, you know, it's really exciting to see it work across the miles and across the moments. And it really proves to people how powerful intuition can actually be.
You love that. And like, if for those of us that don't really, is everybody intuitive? Like, what about people who don't think they're intuitive? Like how does that come across?
Like my husband was convinced he was not intuitive. He was in the military and intelligence, and he is in cybersecurity. He's the definition of the least intuitive person that you would ever think you were. And now that he's met me, He's like using intuition all the time. So yeah, everybody has it. I think that people just don't realize they have it and they don't know how to use it. They don't know what it is, right? Because we've been taught to kind of ignore that part of our brain for right. so many years, right? We're just like, oh, that's not real. That can't serve you, just because we don't understand it. But now we're starting to realize, you know, with this, it's really an amazing moment in time we are in right now, because with quantum physics and technology, we're realizing that, wait, there's something to intuition after all, that's not just woo, that's not just spooky, it's something really real and important and valuable. And it's tied into this quality of genius that you talked about when we started the program. So it's a really important revolution. You know, I'm talking about radical intuition. We're talking about making this revolution of making this shift into the intuitive mind and thinking, learning to think intuitively, not just rationally.
Yeah. And I feel like for me, like those two forces, they're often opposed. I don't think they have to be, but we sort of oppose them, you know, and that in my experience of my intuition and like my own personal kind of coming into harmony and integrating my intuition was realizing how often my mind argues with it. So like your intuitive sense will give you like a whole kind of low down on a situation, you know, like, oh, maybe this isn't a good situation, we're not really sure that person's trustworthy, like I have a creepy feeling about that. Yes. and then my mind will be like, what are you talking about, Lisa? Why do you think that? Like, you, like everybody else likes that person, why don't you like that person, you know? And
for example,
you know, I think we've learned, you know, because kids are so naturally intuitive, but I think at some point we learn to not listen, to like put that voice away and choose the voice of our mind over this other thing. Like, what do you, tell me what you think about that. Is that a common, that's my experience, yeah, but is no, that something I, that you uncover a lot?
I couldn't agree with you more on everything you just said. You know, I think really we're conditioned out of our intuition. I think we're conditioned that with that other voice in our mind that, you know, we've got it all backwards. I do like a whole, I have a little talk I give on how we've been taught to think wrong. We've been trained to think with our rational minds and maybe paying attention to how we feel after that, right? Like maybe, but it should be the other way around. We should be listening to those first insights, those first impressions, right? That thing that's telling you there's something up with that person, even if we don't have the rational facts to support it. You're listening to that first insight and then allowing our mind and our educated thoughts to support that, right? Instead of pushing it down. Right. But to say, okay, so I'm having this impression about something. It's happening for a reason. Maybe I should trust that and honor it instead of rationalizing my way out of it, which is what we do so often. And like famous last words, you know, I ignored my intuition.
Right.
You know? And that's, you know, that's the thing. When our mind will tell us that, oh, there's nothing to worry about. You're fine. But the intuition knows, right? So we kind of listen to that and start to trust ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's sort of this retooling, you know, refocusing our priorities or refocusing where we put our attention, because I know we've all had that moment of regret when we were like, didn't listen to myself. And like, now I'm paying the price for that. And I have this theory that I've been dying to run by you, actually, that intuition is like the gateway to our soul. It's almost like the soulful self. Mm-hmm. And that our soul doesn't really have a way to speak directly to our mind. Like our mind is a little insulated from that energy, but our intuition is the voice of our soul in our own life. What do you think? What do you think? Could that be true?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, like Paramahansa Yogananda said that the intuition is the soul's power of knowing God. You know, we've heard intuition referred to as the language of God. So it really is the interface that we have with that higher power, you know, whatever you want to call it, whether you call it source or your soul or the universe or life, you know, whatever your beliefs are, it doesn't matter. It's our connection to that thing and that level of awareness and existence and all of the information and data and experiences that are out there on that higher level. That right here in front of us, we don't experience. And to your point about our brains not being able to understand it, I mean, it makes really perfect sense, because, you know, the side of our brain that we use to think rationally and linearly, you know, that functions. We know that we have two hemispheres of our brain, and we know that the intuitive side functions totally different. It doesn't communicate the way we, you know, we do with language. It's through images and symbolism and visual things. and musical things. So when you think about how your intuition, think about, you know, your psychic, all of the way that your intuition communicates to you, it's through that kind of left brain faculty, right? Usually you'll get phrases or words or whatever, but it's processed through a different part of our minds. So it is that way of connecting. I think that pathway comes a different way. It can't come. Everybody's like, why doesn't your intuition just come out and say, hey, don't go down the street today because there's an accident, right? No, mm-hmm. It does. I mean, sometimes you might get something like that to happen, but typically it'll be a feeling. It'll be an impression. It might even be like an image that comes to your head or an idea, right? All functioned through that different side of your brain.
I was so excited to read about how you correlate the four kinds of intuition to archetypes, because I love doing archetype work, and I do a lot of work with archetypes in my own process and with my own students. So I thought it was brilliant what you wrote about the archetypes and the four different types of intuition. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I really, you know, that kind of came to me when I was trying to, you know, differentiate the different pathways, you know, like the way that intuition talks to us and how some people have really open pathways and really kind of allows them to move into this sort of archetype, as the four archetypes are a healer, the visionary, the mystic, and the sage, right? So based on which pathway is most open, you'll identify with these different archetypes in different ways. Some people might identify with all of the archetypes. So it was really important to me to have an archetype associated with each type of intuition, because it would just convey the energy in a really human way. Right. Yeah. So you can see the highest sort of example of it, of when it's functioning. And, you know, if you're really good at spiritual intuition and transcendental intuition, this archetype of the mystic comes into play, and you can really embody that in your life.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. I'm also fascinated by how you were able to take the work that you're doing and work in corporations. You know, I've actually done a bit of that, too. I worked with a lot of CEOs of companies. And what I noticed, like these sort of Fortune 500 CEOs, they're really interested in this topic. Mm-hmm. And they've seemed to be brilliant at combining their logical mind and their analytical mind with their intuition. And they kind of bring them together and they often work it, like they practice it and they work it in a very conscious way. So they can use the best of both of those things together, which seems to make them more effective leaders or better at what they're doing. But tell me how you got, invited to work in some really big companies and some high tech kind of places.
Yeah, and you're 100% right. And I think that every good leader is going to recognize intuition and it's something valuable, because like it is that difference between being good and being great. And it is that little spark of genius. So, for me, the pathway into this work was through the arts. And I was working in creative technology, I was working with innovative companies that were out there trying to create new products that people wanted, that were trying to lead the way, set the trends, push the boundaries, right? All of that is the purview of intuition. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing that, you know, a lot of people didn't realize until maybe the last 10 years. It wasn't something that we really heard people talking about. You know, intuition was sort of delegated for like crystal balls and tarot cards, right? Right. So now it's getting to this point where, you know, working in tech, I'm hearing, you know, I go to meetings and I hear like these great, like you said, Fortune 500 companies, innovators, tech companies talking about intuition like it's this holy grail. You know, we understand, yeah, we have data and machines and we know we're smart, but like that intuition piece, that's the magic secret sauce. So, you know, helping companies to realize that, you know, getting out of your comfort zone, taking chances, you know, pushing yourself beyond those boundaries, becoming those trailblazers, those are the qualities of successful, groundbreaking companies who are like setting the trends and following themselves instead of following other people and just keeping up with the trends.
So it's so heartening to me, because I started working as a psychic when I was 19. It was like in the early 90s, you know, and back then it was so fringe. It was so weird. It was so like, you know, like what are you doing? You know, it was really crystal balls and stuff. And it's just so heartening to me to see kind of the this whole field being legitimized, studied scientifically, you know, and all that kind of. That and not only that, but people reaping the benefit of that mainstreaming of it.
Yeah, so totally. Cool. It was one of like my mission. I'd say I'm trying to normalize intuition. This is like, it's been, yeah. I've been fighting for so long. And I think part of it is a personal journey because it's such a part of me. And I was like you. And when I was young, everybody was like, oh, that's so weird. That's so strange. That's so creepy. And you know, like, I'm like, I'm not weird or creepy. I'm just a normal person. So like, why should that be weird or creepy, right? You know?
Yeah.
So that's, I was like, well, we need to stop this. And I'm so happy. I like you. I share in the joy of seeing like really smart people out there standing up for intuition now. And, you know, people who are the smartest people are standing up for intuition, not just like smart people. It's the smartest people now are standing up for intuition and redeeming us. So
I love it. I'm so like, you know, and your book is like eminently practical. It's just full of tips, techniques, exercises. It's very low on the woo meter.
Yeah.
I like that. I think it's so accessible the way that you write about it. But tell us a little bit about maybe some tips or techniques that, you know, anyone could, our listeners could use to kind of activate their intuition.
Yeah. So first of all, I just love that phrase, low on the woo meter. I'm going to probably use that. I love it. There's a little bit of woo. I mean, it's not
a little bit. There's just the right amount of woo.
But it's just low on the woo meter, right? Yeah. You know, it's good. I mean, intuition is woo. I mean, I can't say there's no woo because there's a part of it that's so profound,
absolutely,
spiritual, right? And like you can't ignore that. And I'm not going to deny that. But at the same time, it's more than that and has a greater reach for humanity than that. So I just want to expand the boundaries for that, really, for that kind of thinking. So, you know, in order of getting started for like every regular person to just start, you know, becoming more intuitive. And I think this is something you've probably experienced too, is the first thing I always say, and you know, it's not a like magical thing, but the first thing I say is really to slow down and create more space in your life for your intuition to speak to you. That is the number one problem that we all have of why we don't hear our intuition, because we're busy, we're on our phones all the time, we're rushing around, we have so much stuff going on in our life that there's no time for us to hear our intuition. When are the times that people typically will get an intuition? In the shower, maybe driving the car to work when they're alone, you know,
right.
Maybe when they're falling asleep at night or waking up in the morning, because those are the only times when their minds are quiet.
Yeah.
The work of like Eckhart Tolle and the Power of Now and mindfulness, like I really, really get behind that because I feel like all of that mindfulness and teaching us to move into the space and the presence of being is really the first step in becoming intuitive. Like I talk about this insightfulness, this movement of insightfulness that's happening now is a response to mindfulness, right? First we become mindful and then we get into the space where the stillness can start to speak to us so we can live insightfully and we can know the choices that we need to make and how we can act and serve in the world.
It's a beautiful distinction between mindfulness and insightfulness. Like mindfulness is the quieting, mm-hmm. you know, and the showing up in the present moment and to sort of being open and receptive, because we have to be quiet to be open and receptive, kind of without an agenda for me. Like intuition comes when I'm like, I'm not like, you know, pushing like, hey, intuition, you better talk to me right now. Like, it's just like an open space. And then I love that distinction you made about insightfulness is, insightfulness sort of has a directionality to it in a way. Like it's pointing us into a direction that where mindfulness is just holding an open space. Thought that was great.
Yeah. And it's like a yin and a yang, you know, I look at it as really like complementary forces of sort of, there's, you know, receptivity and action, because intuition is about action. Cause we hear people talking about following our intuition. Cause you know, and we, you know, it'd be nice if we could be still and just enjoy the moment and live in peace. But the reality is we are all living lives and we have to do things on a daily basis. So our intuition is really that higher guide through all of that action and really shows us the way to make the world better and make our lives better and evolve and grow.
Yeah. And that was really came through in your book as sort of a recurring theme, which I totally agree with. And I was so happy you wrote about it, which is that we really can't separate this process from our personal growth and development. Mm-hmm. You know, like when we become mindful, when we become insightful, we sort of have to do inner work in a way. And a lot of times I think this is my theory that people block their intuition because often it points us in a direction of growth that's difficult or that where we have some resistance to. Right. So we get a little bit like, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear that. And I don't know. What do you think?
100%. I mean, the thing about intuition is so often it calls us outside of our comfort zone, because that's what growth is. Right. You know, if we wanted to stay home and like be recluses, then, you know, that's great, but that's not the pathway to our evolution and opening ourselves up to change and growth. So our intuition is going to call us out of those uncomfortable situations, and maybe even into other uncomfortable situations that are going to help us to learn the lessons we need to learn and to expand our consciousness to help ultimately to free us. You know, the idea is to free us from all of this stuff that we're dealing with and to wake us up. And our intuition can do that if we trust it and we follow it.
And any other tips or techniques? Like, what's one little thing besides creating space? What else can we do?
First impressions. So first impressions are something that's so important. Like, we hear that saying, first impressions never lie. So remembering that your intuition is that little smart spark, that quick moment that comes in before your mind has a chance to get in there and kill it. Because that's what it'll do. It'll rationalize it. It'll talk you out of it. Like you're saying earlier, it'll just try to overpower and dominate it. But that intuition is that sacred little moment that just comes to you out of nowhere. So really, I tell people to pay attention to anything that comes to you out of nowhere. Anything that you haven't formulated or thought of in a rational train of thought, right? Because you know your mind's not. So that those little sparks in the shower, those little moments you're going for a walk and you have an idea, the time you think of a friend out of nowhere, and then suddenly they call or write or something. Those are those intuitive moments that just simply come to you. So paying attention to those first impressions, the first things that come, the things that come out of nowhere, that's how you start to realize how your intuition's talking to you.
Yeah, I find, and you give this advice in your book, which I think is fantastic. I find for me, like, I often have to write those things down. And, you know, you talk about journaling as being like a tool, because I feel like if we don't write them down or record them on our phone or do something, they're like, they're gone in like a minute. Like, our attention shifts onto something else and we lose it.
And you forget about it, right? And those validations are so huge. The book is full of ways to get validations, because to me, validations are the only way that you're going to build trust. Until your intuition comes through for you, because it's so nebulous, until it comes through with something that's undeniable, you're not going to be able to trust it. So writing those little things down, because another thing is intuition's, hindsight's 20/20. So it might not have realized it until 2 months in the future, and you go back and you read that, and you're like, oh my gosh, I was writing about this, right? How often?
Yeah, so often.
So important to record those validations to build trust.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know, I love that. And how can people work with you? Let's talk a little bit about where they can get your book, how they can work with you, how they can find you.
Yeah, so you can get my book, Radical Intuition, A Revolutionary Guide to Owning Your Inner Power, anywhere online or at my website, kimchesney.com. And you can also learn more about our intuition development classes at intuitionlab.com. And I have a free Wake Up Your Intuition guide that you can get there, and you can just start doing all this stuff. It's 12 pages and it's got some juicy stuff to start doing all this work right now.
That's fantastic. I think it's, I'm a very practical, as a psychic, I'm tend to be on the practical side, just like you are. And I love that you included all these really, really practical things. So I think getting your book would also be a fantastic idea. Let's take a look at your book. And I'm assuming that, people get it on Amazon and all the usual.
Yeah, book outlet. Everywhere, Target, Walmart, you name it, it's there.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Kim. It was such a fantastic time and journey to explore what your intuition is. I have one last question before we end. Quantum intuition, where are we going in the future? Like, where do you think the evolution of intuition is going?
That's the future. It's really going to be one. Once we start to scientifically understand quantum realities, intuition is going to all become clear. We're going to understand how it's possible for us to know things beyond time and space and travel through these wormholes of thought. It's really going to be an exciting time. I think there's a lot of great stuff that awaits ahead for intuition.
I know. I love it too. And I feel like, you know, quantum physicists are proving like what metaphysicians have known all along, you know, what psychics and metaphysicians and sages have known, you know, like all those people you talked about, you know, Einstein and Stephen Hawking and Yogananda. And now we're kind of catching up to the science of that, and also in a really affirming and incredible way.
Totally. That's exactly it. We're catching up. So I think it's exciting that part of us knew, even though if we didn't know, we know, but we knew.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show with me today and for sharing your beautiful wisdom with the audience and writing this incredible book. I am going to start giving this book out to all my students and my psychic students. It's such a great resource. So thank you for the beautiful work you're doing in the world.
Thank you for having me. This has been a great conversation.
Oh, and thank all of you guys for watching and listening to us. Thanks for joining us. You can find me if you want to see what I'm doing these days. Come and visit me on my website, lisacampion.com. And I'd love to visit with you, find out what you're doing. But thanks again for being with us here on Empower Radio, where we are healing the planet one person at a time.